We are looking at the subject of holiness from the book of J.C. Ryle, and we have come across the chapter Lot, the beacon, or Lot, the warning. So I want to read the opening scripture. The foundational scripture is Genesis chapter 19 and verse 16. And while he lingered, the men laid upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him, and they brought him forth and they set him without the city. The Holy Scriptures were written for our learning, and they are full of instruction. They are beacons. They are patterns that we should follow. They provide us with examples of what we should avoid, as well as examples of what we should follow and do. And we see this clearly in the book of Romans, chapter 15 and verse 4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that through patience and comfort of the scriptures we might have hope. We understand that all scripture is profitable. All scripture is inspired. All scripture is written for our instruction. Even the Old Testament and the New Testament, our foundational verse gives us the understanding that Lot lingered. And what can we learn about Lot lingering? What is the significance of this? Who was this man Lot? Well, this man Lot was the nephew of Abraham. We will see later how they separated, but the words are serious and they're full of thought, and the life of Lot should be a trumpet call, a warning call to the ears of all believers. These might be the very words that our souls require. The voice of the Lord commands, remember Lot's wife. The Bible in Luke 17, verse 32, simply says, remember Lot's wife. The scriptures command us or show us to pay special attention to this, especially those who call themselves real Christians, especially those that desire to live holy lives. Let it be a settled principle in our minds. If we want to follow holiness, we must not be like Lot and linger. Once more, I say, Lot is a beacon. His life is a warning unto us. Now, was Lot a converted man? Was Lot the Lord's? Many will say that Lot was a bad person. Lot was uncommitted. Lot lingered. So he was not really the Lord's, they might say. But I want to be very, very clear. Lot was a converted man. Lot was a true one. He was a justified soul. He was a righteous man. And this is very important to recognize, because we are dealing with a class of believers that in nature is very similar to Lot, similar to lingering Lot. Let's look at some of the characteristics of Lot. Lot had grace in his heart, and you and I also have grace in our hearts. Do we not have a hope of salvation? Lot had a hope of salvation. Do we not travel the narrow way and avoid the broad way, so did Lot. Let's not think that this is just my opinion or the opinion of the author. It is what Scripture makes abundantly clear. We read it in 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 7 and 8. And he delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. So Scripture tells us very clearly that Lot was a just and a righteous man. And Scripture gives us the evidence that there was grace upon him. But not only Scripture, also his very actions. Because all around Lot, there were wicked people. All around Lot, there was sin and the most terrible darkness. And to be a righteous man in the city of Sodom took a special grace. And Lot had that grace. Without that grace, it would never have been possible. And another evidence that Lot was a righteous man was his vexed soul. He saw the terrible sin around him, and he was grieved by it. It pained him when he saw the ungodly behavior. It vexed him. When we read the book of Psalms, King David puts it a slightly different way. He says, I beheld the transgression, and rivers of water ran down my eyes. When a righteous person sees transgression, she's never really happy. We were talking before, while we were coming, and my wife told me a story about a pig and a cat. And do you know a pig, when it falls into miry clay, dirt, it loves it. It wallows in it. It rolls in it. And it never wants to be clean, never. But a cat, if it even gets a little bit of dirt on its foot, it wants to clean it. A cat's always cleaning itself, always wanting it to be clean. And a righteous person doesn't want to be covered in filth and sin. It grieves them. It vexes them. We must be righteous believers that are pained. The Apostle Paul says it like this: I have great sorrow and continual heaviness of heart for my brethren and my kinsmen according to the flesh. So grace made these people feel this way. Grace makes us feel this way about sin. I was reading about Spurgeon, and they used to have a prayer meeting before the service, and a few of the elders would gather together and they would pray for the service. And Spurgeon was commenting and saying, I love to see God's people have a holy horror for sin, all the sin which surrounds them. And then he says, in the prayers that we prayed before we came upstairs to the service, there were many tears and there were many cries over the wickedness of our city. Oh, we need to be that righteous person who has many cries over the wickedness of the people in the city. Oh, Lord, save them. Lord, the drunkards, the impurity of the people. Look at our city. It is nearly as bad as Sodom or Gomorrah. Lord, save the lost. And he says that we must pray, Lord, have mercy upon the people. The righteous man prays for the lost. Another evidence that Lot was a righteous man was that he was vexed from day to day. He didn't get used to the sin which he saw. It troubled him always. Always pained his heart when he saw it. And he didn't cool down. He didn't become lukewarm. He didn't get familiar with certain sins. He didn't allow those sins to dull his feelings. Whenever he saw that sin, it vexed his soul. And this was Lot, a righteous and a just man. But before we move on, I want you to note that even a true believer may have blemishes. Even a true one may have defects, may have infirmities, but they could still be a true one. I note here, we do not despise pure gold just because it is mixed with dross. Pure gold can be mixed with dross. We must be careful not to despise grace because it's accompanied with some corruption. Although Lot suffered for his lingering, we must not forget that Lot was a true and a righteous one. Now, what do we discover and learn about Lot's behavior? Well, I've said it already, he lingered. Lot knew how bad the city of Sodom was. He knew that the cry of its wickedness had gone up before God, and yet he lingered. Lot knew, he knew that God was going to destroy the city. How did he know? The two angels told him plainly, clearly, and the angels said, "The Lord hath sent us to destroy the city." So that's in Genesis 19 and verse 13. What did Lot do? Even although he knew, he lingered. He lingered. Lot knew that God was a God that always kept his word. He knew that God, when he said something, he would perform it and he would do it. How could Lot be the nephew of Abraham and have been so long with Abraham and not know that God was a covenant-keeping God? No, Lot knew that God was a covenant-keeping God. He was aware of this fact, and yet Lot lingered. You say, well, maybe Lot didn't really believe there was a danger. He did believe there was a danger. You ask, how do you know that he believed there was a danger? For he went to his sons-in-law and he warned them, "Flee up," he said, "get out of this place. The Lord will destroy this city." If he didn't believe it, he wouldn't have warned his son-in-laws. He believed it, yet he lingered. He lingered. Lot saw the angels with his own eyes. He physically saw the angels hastening him, saying, "Lot, hurry up and get your family ready. Go forth." And he heard the voice ringing in his ears, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." What did Lot do? Yet Lot lingered. This is what it means to linger. He was slow when he should have been quick. He was backward when he should have been forward. He was idling and loitering when he should have been hurrying. He was cold when he should have been hot. It seems almost incredible that he could be so reluctant to leave the city. These things are written for our learning, for our warning, for our instruction. we need to understand that although that happened long, long ago, still today, there is a lot of Christians that are very similar to Lot. Lot lingering Christianity is very popular in the day and age in which we live. There are many Christians. I wouldn't say they are true, but there are many that call themselves Christians. They give the impression that they know so much about the Bible. They give the impression that they are so learned and so spiritual. But what standard do they live up to? Do they live up to what they claim to know? Do they fall below the standard of that which they are confessing with their mouth? They hold fast to Jesus Christ. They love the truth. They like to hear preaching. They say amen to preaching. They say amen to the sound doctrine of the Bible. But still, something is wrong. They're always doing things that disappoint their pastor. Always doing things that disappoint the mature believers. Yes, they do believe in heaven, but only weakly long for it. They don't live as though the Lord is a soon and coming Lord. They believe in hell, but they have very little fear for sin. They love the Lord. They say they love the Lord, but they work so little for Him. They do so little for Him. They say they hate the devil, but they often appear to welcome him into their lives. They know the time is short, but they live as though it was long. They know the Bible says, fight the good fight. Run the race that is set before you, but they sit on the sofa and relax. These are lingering Christians. You would think that they are not involved in the warfare, that they are at peace with the enemy. They know there's a race, but they still relax. What can we say about this class of people that do these things? Well, we can say they fall under this one class. They are brothers and sisters of lingering Lot. They are simply lingerers. And what's worse is they offer excuses for their lingering. They say it's not necessary that all people would attain to a holy and a spiritual life. I'm just an ordinary believer. Yes, it's a pastor can be very holy, but do I need to be holy? They do like holiness. They even tell stories about holy people, people that they have read about, but they think they don't need to attain to such a high standard as the ones they read about. They seem to think that it's not within their reach. They get the wrong idea in their heads, thinking that holiness is narrow-mindedness. It's too extreme. And then they say, rather, I will aim to please everyone, instead of aiming to please the only one that really matters, God. Oh, we should be not man-pleasers, but please the Lord. We should not aim at pleasing everyone. We should aim at pleasing the Lord. Do you know that these lingering type people, these lingering Christians, there's one thing that they dread. There's one thing that they really dislike, and that is self-sacrifice and self-denial. They never seem to obey God's commands. They don't take up their cross daily and follow him. They say, yes, I know that's written in the Bible. I agree, those are the words that the Lord wrote, but they never work it into their Christianity. Rather, they spend their lives and their effort trying to make the narrow gate wider, trying to make the cross lighter, but they never take up their cross and they never follow him. You know, if they see a Christian that is in pride or selfishness or impatience or with bad temper, if they even see those things in themselves, they just tolerate them. They never deal with them. They never pray to the Lord and say, Lord, burn those things out of me. I don't want to be that kind of Christian. They tolerate it and leave it in their heart. That's what lingering Christians do. They don't deal with the besetting sins, the sins which are trying to pull them down. They make excuses. They say, I can't help it. After all, my whole family is like this. I've got a bad temper. I get very angry. But my father did it. And my grandfather did it. And his grandfather did it. It's hereditary. I can't help it. Well, are you sure there's nothing that you can do? You can go to the Lord in prayer. And you can ask the Lord. You can say, Lord, I don't want to be like that. I want to be changed. I don't want to be a lukewarm Christian. All these brothers and sisters that never deal with these issues in their life, they can be summed up in one sentence. They are brothers and sisters of lingering Lot. And now comes some points. The lingering soul, lingering Lot Christianity is never happy Christianity. Yes, they are saved. Maybe they are going to heaven. They may end up in heaven, but they are saved as of from the fire. 1 Corinthians 3:15. They're like a twig snatched from the fire. They're not walking in victory and joy and peace and holiness. People don't see the Lord in their lives. They're just struggling from day to day. One thing about Lot is his problem started when he made a wrong choice early in his life. What choice am I referring to? I'm referring to the strife between Abraham's herdsmen and Lot's herdsmen. For the land was not able to bear all the livestock, and there was strife between them. And Abraham said to Lot, let there be not strife between us. And he said to Lot, if you choose the right hand, I shall take the left hand. And if you choose the left hand, I shall take the right hand. And what did Lot do? He lifted up his eyes and he looked and he saw the plain of Jordan, that it was green and fertile and well watered. And he chose it. He said, there, I will go there. And he went there. He made the decision. He chose by sight only and not by faith. That was his mistake. He never asked for the counsel of God. He never asked God to give him wisdom in making his choice. He just made the decision based on what worldly profit it would give him. He made the decision based on how comfortable it would be. He forgot about the eternal things, the eternal treasures in the life to come. This was a very bad beginning for Lot. Where did Lot linger? Where did he linger? He lingered in the city of Sodom on the very day before it was destroyed. And in whose presence did he linger? Well, he lingered in the presence of two angels who were sent to bring deliverance. And I read in the chapter before in Genesis that these angels, or angels, had been to Abraham and told him that what the Lord was about to do. And Abraham interceded for the city. And Abraham said, "Shall the judge of all the earth destroy them if they are just 50 righteous?" And the Lord said, "If they are 50 righteous, I will not destroy it." And we are familiar with the story. He said, "Well, what if there are 5 less?" And the Lord said, "If there are 45, I will not destroy it. If there are 40, then I will not destroy it. If there are 30, then I will not destroy it. 20, 10, I will not destroy it." And when morning arose, the destroying angels, who were also the delivering angels, they now came to Lot. And they hastened Lot. They said, "Lot, hurry up. Take your wife and your 2 daughters." And the angels brought them forth. And while he lingered even in the presence of the angels, angels whom he respected. Because when he saw the angels, he recognized these are holy, and he bowed down with his face to the ground. He knew these were different. These were not the men inhabitants of Sodom. These need to be reverenced. And he bowed down before them. Yet it's very strange that, knowing that they were holy men, that he would still linger. And you say, and I say, "Oh, I would never linger if holy angels came and warned me and told me, move out. I would not linger." But yet we do. We linger in the very presence of our Savior. Whenever we disobey his precepts, whenever we are slow to do what his word says, we are lingering. We are dragging our feet. Whenever we question his principles, we're doing it in his presence. We are lingering. We are just like Lot. We must not linger. Why do souls linger? Why did Lot linger? Well, his earthly choice and his growing habits attached him to Sodom. He was attached by habit to the place where he lived. And another note that I read was, perhaps he had spoken with his sons-in-law, and he warned them, but they didn't want to believe, and they supposed that he was telling them a fable. They were reluctant to leave. And because they were reluctant to leave, Lot didn't want to leave. He was torn. His heart was divided. He was only considering by sight. He was not considering the unseen. Let me give you some practical applications how this can affect us personally. Say you are living in a place that becomes a little bit expensive and you're paying a lot for the rent, and you say to yourself, "I need to shift. I need to find a place where the rent is cheaper." And you look for a place and you say, "Yes, the rent is very cheap there. I'm going to move to thus and thus place." But you never find out if there's a good church there that can nourish you and feed your soul. You're only making a decision based upon your economy. You're not looking at eternal matters. Or let's say you're looking for a better job. You say, "Yes, if I get that job, I'll get I'll get double the money I'm getting now. I'm going to move to that job. But you forget to find out if you have to work on Sunday. And you say, no, I will go there because the pay is double. But you, every Sunday, you have to work and you can never go to church. Your soul can never be fed. You can never be nourished. You can never be strengthened. And you drift colder and colder and you start departing from the things of God. No, we must not make decisions based on the natural only. We must make decisions prayerfully and wisely. And we should ask God for wisdom and for guidance for every decision that we make. Don't be like Lot, who made a decision based solely upon gain. You say, well, I'm a strong Christian. I can survive. If I have to work Sundays, I'll be all right. I can read my Bible at home when I come home from. I can tune into the internet and listen to a message. You are deceiving yourself. The hottest iron will soon become cold if it is taken out of the fire. It's easy to say, or let me say, it's very easy to say, I shall never be moved when everything is going well. It's easy to say that. It's one sure fact that if we choose like Lot chose, and we become a lingerer like Lot was a lingerer, and we follow Lot's footsteps, we will soon become just like Lot. Unhappy, lingering. Allow yourself to act as he acted, and you will soon discover that you are a wretched lingerer. Some say, well, it doesn't matter. Lot lingered, but the Bible said that Lot was a righteous man. He will still go to heaven. So it's okay. That's all I want. I just want to get to heaven. It doesn't matter what I do on this earth. As long as I end up in heaven. People don't realize that one of the greatest joys in life is to take people with you to heaven. One of the greatest joys in life is to preach the glorious gospel and to see people bow their knee and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. I don't want to get to heaven and find that my life impacted absolutely nobody, that nobody ended up in heaven because I was quiet, I was compromising, I was lingering. And Lot took no one with him. All the people of Sodom, the whole city of Sodom, not a single righteous man was found outside the walls of Lot's home. Lot seemed to have so little influence. People didn't pay attention to him. People didn't listen to Lot. I'm not saying that everybody who's not a lingerer will be a mighty soul winner. Noah preached for 150 years and no one heard. We must take note between Lot's behavior, Lot's lingering, and Lot's effectiveness and fruitfulness, there's a strong connection. Lot's lingering and compromising lifestyle affected his usefulness in God's kingdom. We could say it like this: his saltiness had too little flavor to season the corruption of the world around him. And this is the danger with lingering Christians. They lose their saltiness. Salt is good, but if salt has lost its saltiness, wherewith shall ye season it? Have salt in yourselves and have peace with one another. We are to be full of salt. We are to be Christians that add taste to the world around us. We are not to just be the same temperature as the world around us. this salt, what is it to have salt? It is the salt of self-denial. It is the salt of truthfulness. They could not be salt to others until they had first been salted themselves with gracious habits of knowledge and faith and love and the fear of God. Because they kept themselves, because they walked close to the Lord, they shall be more useful to the Lord. You say, how do you say that? 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in a great house, they are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also wood and of earth, some for honor and some for dishonor. I want to be a vessel for honor. I want to be a Christian who is salty. I don't want to be lingering Lot Christian. I don't want my Christianity to bring disrepute to the Lord. I want to honor the Lord with all that I do. Oh, this is the warning that we receive from this short passage, that we should live in this world as beacons and lights, as the salt of the earth, as a gold vessel and not a vessel of earth and wood and dishonor. May the Lord help us to be that kind of Christian, hot, on fire, not lukewarm, and not cold. Amen.